Wednesday, I had made an announcement. I had found a phone outside in the parking lot. And if you are missing a phone, it's a track phone. We can't really turn it in or turn it on to find out anything more about it. But it was found outside over here in the parking lot toward the mailbox. And so if that was yours, I have it, okay? If not, I still have it. And so if that's yours, let me know. And it could have been, we have so many people coming in the parking lot every now and then, and a lot of folks from Arbogast come and check their car out that they're going to buy. They come and turn around and look at it. It could have been one of theirs, but I want you to know that if you did lose it, I have it, okay? In your bulletins, hope you have a bulletin. If you need one, just raise your hand, and it's good to have everyone here today. I know we have Laura Lyon and her brother with us today, right? And the whole family. Okay, did y'all stay overnight too? Oh, I know that. I know they had a sleepover at Caleb's house, but I didn't know it was a family event, or we would all came too. But we're glad that you're here with us as well. And Caleb and Victoria, they've been coming the last couple Wednesday nights. It's good to have them with us today. And Samantha and Matt as well. Good to see each one here today. But if you need a bulletin, just raise your hand. A couple things that are coming up, pray for. March 13th, time change. And so you're going to take care of that. Ladies, is there a sign-up sheet out yet? Okay, there is a sign-up sheet out there, ladies. Please do that. Blue Lick Bible Church, Saturday, April the 2nd, a ladies' conference. And so I'd like for you to go there. It starts out about 8:30. We're going to leave here probably about 7:30 and get back here around 4 o'clock, something like that. And they'll have lunch and there's sessions and... Okay, so my wife will have some registration forms. They're back here in the back. Ladies, this is how I learn. All right? On the fly. But there's some brochures back there. Fill them out. There's certain classes you can sign up for, and that way they can help out with material and so on. But please do that, and hope that you have a wonderful time. Calvary Quartet, April 23rd. That is a Saturday night. Concert will start at 6:30. I want you to begin to not only be here yourself, but invite some folks to be here. And love for every one of our seats, and we'll hopefully, Lord willing, have all of our seats out, and like to see well over 100 come that night. It's open to the public, and if you have not been around the Calvary Quartet, you will be very well pleased, and godly spirit, and godly singing. And so they are going to be here Saturday, the 23rd, 6:30. Then they'll also be here all day. On the 24th, they'll be singing Sunday school, and we'll have a Sunday school in here for everyone during that time. And then they'll have some songs both in the morning service and in the evening service. And then our evangelist, Chris Miller, will be with us. And I have some flyers in the back that I would like for you to take, all right? Begin to pass out. There's some larger flyers if you'd like to take out. You've got a bulletin board at work or a public place, a library. You please just grab one and take that, and like to begin to put those out as soon as we can. And so if you could help me with that. May 19th, Ambassador Baptist College, we're going to have an ensemble here, and that is on a Thursday. When I have a Wednesday night service, it'll be Thursday, okay, for that particular week. And so I'd like to have all of our young people need to be here for that. And you enjoy having them sing, and then they'll also preach as well. Camp Kobiak, we have about 8 people signed up, I believe, 8 youngsters signed up. And so if you haven't signed up, you need a registration form, see Brother Caleb. He'll get that to you. The first 10 that sign up, your $50 fee is taken care of for you. And many are given to that. Let me encourage you to continue to give toward our camp and to sponsor kids. And so it's been a blessing to see that grow as well. October Revival, November Missions Impact, and those things are coming up. So pray about all these things. So much has taken place. This summer is going to be a busy summer, an active summer. I'm glad that we have an alive church. You know, we may not be the biggest church in town, but at least we're alive, amen, and doing things for the Lord and God's blessing. And one of the things that is coming up this summer is softball, and Brother Brock's going to come and just give us a little information on that he's heading up wanting a softball team. So everybody that is 50 years of age and older, this is your game, okay? All right. So Brother Brock, you come up and share with us.
basically is we're having a softball league, got sign-ups. It's every Friday evening during the summer, starts in May. I got to have everything in by mid-April. So I'm going to put sign-ups in the back. Games are at 6:30, 7:30, or 8:30. I will have a schedule that is sent to me that I'll send out to everybody. You do have to be 16 or older. And it is co-ed, so if some ladies want to sign up, I'm perfectly fine with that. I know some churches are all just men's, but I don't care, whoever wants to play. This is also an outreach. If you know somebody who wants to play softball that you're trying to get in to come to church, invite them to play softball for the summer. It's a great way for them to get to know the guys, the ladies. You know, even if the ladies come out and watch the game and then the guy, his wife comes out, she can get to know the ladies up in the stands. So this is definitely a great way. I at least need 15 people total. So, you know, that way we can at least make sure we have 10 or 11 every week, because we at least have to have that every week so that way we can field a complete team. Any questions, feel free to give me a call. My phone number is on the sign-up sheet, so or ask me here at church. Any other questions, please feel free to come up and talk to me. Thank you.
Over 50? Is that what he said?
I forgot the offering. He was going to come up. Yeah, I told him to. He's just following my lead. Sometimes that can be dangerous, amen? But we'll go ahead and take our offering this morning and certainly thank the Lord. You have been giving faithfully, and I just want to commend you for that before the Lord and appreciate all that you have done. And let's worship him this morning in our fruits, and so let's ask God to bless. All right, Brother Abram, if you haven't seen... beside him during the choir was his was one of his boys. Caleb is now up there singing, and I could hear him well. He did an excellent job this morning. He was holding my book, and so maybe that was a help. I don't know, but I am glad he has a servant's heart. I really am. And Brother Abram, that is fruit to your labor, and so would you take us to the Lord in prayer? Amen.
God's wonderful people. Is that what it's been a long time since I've heard that one. Stand with me if you want. Grab your hymnal on the way up. You can turn to 149. 149, As He Leadeth Me. 349. Your name, last name is Foster. Come ahead. God bless you.
Yeah, got it. Good. We're good.
Praise. Thank you so much, foster family. What a blessing that is to see a family sing together and minister together. And always a joy. Always a joy. All right, kids, you are dismissed. They don't even wait anymore for me to say it. They just go. All right. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, if you don't mind, the book of Colossians. And I hope that it's been a help to you this month on the home and the marriage, the relationship. We dedicated this month as our family month and concerning the home. And marriages, husbands and wives and children tonight. Lord willing, I'm going to bring a message entitled The Deceptions of Discipline. And hope that'll be a help to you, parents, and even grandparents. That'll be a blessing to you. But this morning, and wrestle with God a lot. There's so much information on the home that can be expelled and expounded on. And it would take months for me to share with you. I would encourage you to do this. How many listen to podcasts? All right, just a few of you. If you do not listen to podcasts on your phone, maybe download it. You can do, I think it's just a Beamcast or something like that. There's a couple different podcast apps that you can do, but I'd encourage you to download the app David Young, David and his wife Bethley, David and Bethley Young on the Keeping It Young podcast. I'd encourage you to download them and begin listening to several of their podcasts. My wife and I have been doing that these last week or so, and they do a lot of husband and wife podcasts. And by the way, Brother David Young will be with us September of next year, of 2023, and you want to be here for that. But to get some familiarity with him, I'd encourage you to do that. There's a lot of things on the home and on the marriage that they talk about that that we could deal with. But on your own time, I'd encourage you to listen. And the home is an important institution by God. God created that. In the all the way back in the beginning of creation, it's his institution, and so we always have problems. Do you agree that the home, there's always problems? Amen. And always something coming up, and we just love to have 1 week where there's nothing that happens. Amen. And just something that would just a good week would be well expected every now and then, but in the home, it's an always growing an always developing institution. It's something that always has to develop and continue. And we look at our lives and we may say, you know, there's really nothing that I can see outstanding that would hinder my home or hinder my relationship or my marriage or relationship with the spouses. But there's categories that we all fall into, whether we want to admit it or not. There's categories we all fall into, and sometimes every day. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. And so in your Bible, Colossians chapter number 3, read with me in verses 1 through 10, all right? Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 10. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, Paul is starting this chapter out, not questioning them. The word is not, if you've been risen with Christ. He's not questioning their salvation. He's basically saying, since you are saved and risen with Christ, that these things are what I want you to do. Since you're saved and risen with Christ, here's what you need to do. Verse number 2, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, not only verse 2 to set your affections, but verse number 3, here's something else you need to do. And these are not my points, but maybe underline them, highlight them. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That means vile affections, evil concupiscence. That's just evil and ungodly desires, physical desires, and covetousness. These are passions, and which is idolatry. Anything that comes before God is idolatry. This verse number 5 is talking about the physical acts. The physical acts in our life, our individual lives, personal lives. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have that problem. Fornication, uncleanness, and you know, those things that come into my heart and my mind, those evil desires. I don't have those things, you know. And if they do, very rarely if they do, I want to get it right with God. So those things aren't my problem. I'm pretty well have that under control. Well, the church of Colossae didn't. He told them to take care of this. It's a problem. And they grew up in that. They were part of that. And you need to take care of that. Many of us grew up in homes that really didn't display God in the home. And you may have been exposed, and you may have been had the opportunity to even partake in before your salvation. He says, I want you to take and mortify your body. Mortify means to put to death, to resist those things, because you're no longer to be bound by them, but you're free in Christ. If you then be risen in Christ, therefore mortify your bodies. So these things are the physical things that are found in many of our lives today that can happen. You say, well, preacher, I'm not one that's going to fall into fornication or into some evil passion and desires in my life. Well, I could tell you many preachers that thought that same thing. Where Paul said, you when you restore such a one, you better be careful lest ye fall. Don't have so much pride in your life. Don't think that you yourself can fall, because we all have the tendencies. But in Christ, we have the victory over those things, amen? And we don't have to, we're not bound by them. But we say, well, those are the physical things, and they're not in my home. We don't have the things on the TV and magazines, and we watch our internet, and we're careful of those things. And I want to commend you for that, because many homes are not. Many homes let their children just watch what they watch and want and go on the internet and surf the net. And I know they're not surfing on schoolwork, and many times they're surfing things they shouldn't be on. You need to monitor that, mom and dad. You need to monitor that, grandma and grandpa, when the kids are over at your house or they have their iPad in your car. You need to monitor those things. But he goes on, he says, For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. He's basically saying, you do these things, you're a child of disobedience, you're a child of rebellion, and you'll have the wrath of God on you. You're going to have God's judgment upon you. Now this verse, he could probably take that verse and copy it and paste it and put it at the end of verse number 9 as well. But in verse number 7, he says, in which ye also walk sometime when he lived in them. So now we understand that many of them partook in that. Well, the physical things are easy to take care of many times. But when you come to this next verse, in verse number 8, here's where we are challenged. Not only are we to mortify our members and all these sins that he mentions in verse number 5, but now he says in verse number 8, but now ye also, like you did in verse number 5, put off these. Now he gives a grocery list: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. the message this morning, I hope it is a challenge. I was studying Thursday, or maybe it was Friday. I was going through it again, and my wife texted me, and I said, I'm so convicted, so convicted. Because every one of us will fall into these categories. And I could tell you in our home life, as we developed in marriage, I was dominating in some of these in such a negative effect that it'll have on a home. The things that I hope will be a help to us today. The title of the message is Changing the Home from Within. Changing the home from within. When he talks about the outward actions in verse number 5 there, we're pretty well, we got that down, we can probably say. But it's in verse number 8 that runs rampant in the homes today that needs to be changed, that needs to be looked at and examined in our heart in order for our home to be the right home that God wants us to have. So changing the home from within and looking at our emotions and our languages within the home. Now we could probably all say, oh me, preacher, can you just make it short today? I hope to, and I wish I could, but I'm bound by God, so it could be till tonight, I don't know. But let's have a word of prayer, all right? Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I'm grateful that you give us the word of God to help us. The word of God is there to chastise us, no doubt, Lord, but it's here to help us. You told Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Lord, we need a prophet in our Christian homes. Lord, we need to capitalize on the things that we're learning. Lord, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction. Lord, you're not here to necessarily step on our toes, but you're here to help us get things right in our personal life and in our homes. So, Lord, would you just be gentle with us this morning? May the Holy Spirit be sensitive. And, Father, may we be open and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our heart this morning. In Christ's name we ask, amen. The two books, Colossians and Ephesians, are very similar in their doctrine. 70-some verses out over about 105 verses in the book of Ephesians is also found, not verbatim, but found in the book of Colossians as well. So these books are very similar. Both of them deal with the home. Both of them deal with husband and wife relationship. Both of them deal with the church. One deals as Christ is the head of the church, while the other one deals that the church is the body of Christ and Christ is the head. And many of the epistles will go in to many of the details concerning those subjects. But Colossians is given to help us understand a lot of the things that Paul wrote to the book of Ephesians. And I made a reference about the home, that it should be a heaven on earth. Would you agree with that? I hope your home is a heaven on earth, a place that it's a place of solitude and a place of rest. You come home after a long day's work, come in after a hard day, and just a place of rest and relaxation. It ought to be a place that's full of joy. That's a place of full of delight, in the place that we can find gentleness and care. And many homes aren't that way. But God has designed the home to be that way. You find homes today, there's a lot of bickering. There's a lot of tension in the home. There's a lot of arguing in the home. And sometimes, unfortunately, those arguments and those tensions rise to a degree where now there's physical abuse in the home. Whether it be to the spouse, it's not always husband beating the wife. There's been some cases known that the wife beats a husband too. And I'd say shame on him for allowing that to happen, for one thing. And then I'd say shame on him if he did it to his wife. Either way, it's shame on him. He's the head of the home. Amen. And he ought to be the priest of the home. But there are homes that way that are just, you'd really rather not go. God wants a home that is pleasant, a home that's delightful, a home that when you go there, you don't cringe when conversations start. A home that doesn't all of a sudden become stale or change an atmosphere when Dad comes home. We have homes like that. God does not design. He didn't design the home to be that. He designed the home to be a heaven on earth. And the only way that you can get that heaven on earth is to change it within. Now, today's not the day, as it was any other week. You don't point at your wife, Dad, my husband. And husband, don't point at your wife and say, this is all for you. Here, you've got the problem here. You know, this is where you stand right here. This is between you and God. And you have to examine yourself. And by the way, we say that clichéingly. You already know yourself. You just have to admit it. And you know what that takes? Humility. And if you're not willing to admit it and willing to change things, and my friend, your home's not important enough, amen. Your wife and your children, your spouse, your husband's not important enough. And I want you to keep in mind that to change a home within is a team effort. It takes every member of the family to make this home that right institution that God has given us and created from day one. But from after day one, it's been corrupted, and it's been corrupted ever since. We have to work at this. And everyone has to, and by the way, if one fails, then the home is no longer the portrait of the Trinity. Remember that? Husbands, you're a picture of God, the Father of love. Wives, you're a picture of Christ and submission, and the children are a picture of the Holy Spirit or obedience. And when one of those are out of whack, out of balance, then the home is not that heaven on earth. So we have to work at this. And I want you to consider the fact that we all have a sinful nature. And we all say amen with that. We exercise that sinful nature too many times. And when we exercise that nature, many times it comes out in our speech. When we exercise this sin in our life, it's real. Emotions are real. Languages are real. James says it should be controlled because it does a lot of damage. Our communication, our tongue, does a lot of damage. And when we consider this, you say, "Well, preacher, I am not found in this category. I'm pretty well a peaceful, low profile spouse, you know, individual. I kind of let things just kind of go. I ride with it, you know. No. If you're created like me, then you're created with the sin nature, and we all fall into some of these categories. You what you're saying is I don't sin. You know what God says in 1 John chapter 1? He says, if we say we have no sin, we make God a what? A liar. And if we do sin, and that really it's not the question is if you do or if you don't, it's when you do. And we have an advocate with the Lord, Jesus Christ. He's there, and we go to God and confess our sin. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But the speech in our home is one of the hardest things to control. And when we talk about in verse number 8, the anger, the malice, the wrath and things, it comes out in our speech. It comes out physically in our speech. But when we talk about having a home that is right with God, and our homes will have a words that will be pleasing to God. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That's Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It ought to be a beautiful word. That's what he's saying. He says in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You'll find in Proverbs 24, verse 26, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. I believe many misunderstandings in a home are due to our speech. They are due to how we speak and with what words we use. But the thing is, where does that come from? Where does it originate? My speech originates from my emotions. My speech, it wells up because of what's inside my emotions. And what he's talking about in verse number 8 is emotions that come out in our communication. In our home, it can be very emotional, could it not? There's times when stress levels are high due to work, due to coming in from Kroger. Stress levels can be high just before you get into Kroger. There are other things that can cause stress to happen in our home, and our emotions build up, and we use our words improperly many times. Misunderstandings occur, and we process it differently. Wives, you'll process your husband's communication differently than what he says it many times. And husbands, you'll miscommunicate how your wife says things. I say that to my wife. She'll say something, and I'll say, well, it's how you said it. And she says, I didn't say it that way. And I say, well, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. And said, no, I didn't. And I said, yes, you did. You know how that is. You've been there. We all have that. And miscommunication is one of the hardest things to control or to overcome or even to understand. And when we talk about our speech, it comes from our emotions, and it manifests itself in the homes. And in verse number 8, these are improper emotions to have in the home. We use a word many times. It's not even found in the Bible. We think we're going to walk close enough to the Bible and close enough to Scripture, and yet close enough to the world, and we use this word compromise or justify. We can't compromise God's word, amen? God, that word is not found. You will not find compromise in the Bible at all. There is no place where God compromises. And even in verse number 8, we are not to compromise our anger or wrath or malice or even our communication. We are not to compromise those things. We're either right with God as children of obedience, or we're out of the will of God as children of disobedience. Paul said that we ought to abandon these practices that are found. So in verses 3 through 6, we are dead. We should have no more appetite for those things that were their appetite. That was how they lived. It was just natural to them. They grew up in that atmosphere. And Paul said, you are no longer to have that appetite, to be drawn to those things. But there's something that's even deeper than the outside of sin or those fornication and so on. But now I want to focus on the inside of you. And by the way, God does not smile on children of disobedience. The wrath that's there in verse number 6, for the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So we have to be real careful. Listen, when you're saved, you're changed. Amen? The two of you that are saved, right? When you're saved, you're changed. For old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creation in God. You're a child of God. These things have passed. He says in Ephesians 5:8, ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the world, or light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so we are to walk as children of light. Even though we live in darkness, we live in this world, and it is a dark world. But we are to be as children of light. And when we wrestle with this, we wrestle with sin. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. So we're wrestling with these things in our life, in that battle of being disobedient and obedient. And Paul said we can get that right in 1 John 1:9, as I mentioned. But what happens is, again, we find these things in our home. Verse number 8, and I'm going to share with you just 5 things. I'm not going to go through the whole several verses, but I'm going to share with you just 5 things that I believe happens most in our home, most of the times are found in every home. Now, let me make a disclaimer. As you grow in your marriage, they lessen. Would you agree with that? The anger lessens. I mean, these things lessen for 2 reasons. Number one, one of you lose your hearing. Number two, the other one loses their senses. So, I mean, you're good, you know. But as you grow in marriage, your understanding, communication, how you treat one another, it grows. You're growing. You're learning one another, and that's what God wants us to do. As we were listening to this podcast, it was about God has designed the home and the family and the husband and wife relationship not only to learn about God, but to learn about each other through God. And we do that. And by the way, God allows things to happen in your marriage for you to together draw close to God. That's why he you know, well, why do things happen? Because he wants you to grow through it, not run away from it. Maybe sometime I'll give a message on that. I use that in my own personal life. God just wants you to grow through it. He's not always dismissing things from your life, but he wants you to grow through it. Now, there's some things here that we all need to grow in. And there's some things here that all of us need to take attention to and to come out of. Put off, take off. They're dirty. I don't like to wear things 2 days in a row. That's just who I am. I don't care if they're not that dirty or not. I'll throw them down the chute. Y'all know I do my own laundry. So I can do my own laundry as much as I want. We already developed that, and everybody knows that here in the church. I do my own laundry. She does hers. That way her stuff gets ruined and my stuff gets ruined, and we have nobody else to blame except for ourselves. Anyways, I don't like to wear dirty things more than once. I just don't like to. And God doesn't want you to have the dirty clothes on that you wore before you got saved. So it's time to take them off. Take off those things that hinder him. Number one, let me share with you. We notice, number one, anger in the home. This is, everybody fell into this. If you're not, listen, let me ask you this. I want you to raise your hand. How many got angry before they came to church? How many are lying before they come to church? I knew nobody raised their hand. What happens? Anger is something that is in every home. He says, verse number 8, but now you also put off these things, and basically all these things, anger in the home. Some may say, well, I was born that way. That's my personality. I agree. I have no doubt you were born that way. You know why? You were born a sinner. That's why. You're not. God doesn't want you to have that personality trait anymore because you're reborn. You're born a new man. You're born a new lady. I know some ladies that are very loud and forward and will have that anger issue. I know some. I know some men that are that way. That anything will set them off. That's my personality. That's not what personality God wants you to have. The personality you ought to have is the personality of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things. I don't find anger in there. Anger is not a part of the Christian life. It not ought be a part of your trait. It's a trait of sin. It's manifested by sin. And that anger comes out because of the emotion in your own heart. Now, I'm not talking about getting angry because a horse kicks you. I understand that. I get a little upset myself. I'm talking about getting angry at an individual, not at the object. Now, I want you to understand, there's 2 things that occur in anger. There's always an individual, and there's always a situation. You can be upset with the situation, because you understand who's behind the situation, and the devil is many times. But don't ever get angry with the individual. Never get angry with the individual. That's hard, isn't it? He says here, don't put this away from you. The dangers of anger is accompanied with sin, and anger is the agitation of the mind in which is spilling out in our actions. If I'm angry inside, it's going to show. How many of you have been in a home? Maybe you come home to your place and you had a bad day. I mean, you just had a bad day from get-go. You slipped on the bar of soap from the moment you got up in the morning. You got in the car. You forgot to get gas. You don't have time to get gas. You go to the work and hit every red light there was. I mean, it's just starting out bad. You get to the workplace, something you did yesterday wasn't done right, or somebody there is getting on you about something you never did, and they're blaming you for it. You get a phone call from a family member, and it's just upsetting you. You go back home, and the traffic is just bad. And you come home, and your spouse is home, and they had a good day. And you come home and just lay into them. They didn't do anything to you. But you just lay into them. What do you mean supper's not ready? I'm hungry. What do you mean this? And what happened here? And we just lay into them. What happens is the emotion of our anger that has stirred up throughout the day has nothing to do with our spouse. But we let them be the catch-all. God says, listen, don't let that be in your life. It's going to spill out. Don't let anger be a trait in your life because it's going to affect your marriage and it will affect the home. Nobody likes to be yelled at, amen? Nobody likes to have someone come and just lay into them even if they didn't do anything. He said, don't let anger be in the home. It brings division. Would you agree? It does bring division. It divides the home. We talk about the involuntary anger, and that's something we're talking about. We're talking about anger that is against the person, and it stirs up that anger. It divides a husband and wife. The silent treatment. I've said that many times. I just don't understand. I really don't understand what is so important that the wife looks out the window when you're driving up in the sky. I don't know what's up there. But there's something fascinating. They just look. You try to talk and say, everything okay? Yep. What's wrong? Nothing. Oh, you know there's something wrong. Because nothing in the lady's mind, gentlemen, means a lot. What's wrong? A lot. A lot of things you did. A lot of things you said. Anger divides the home. It'll divide the car. It'll divide the home. All right? Anger brings division, and it's because of emotion that's been stirred up. Now, maybe it was an anger that stirred up that needs to be taken care of, but we have to be very careful in how we take care of it. Don't let your conversation become a ping-pong match on who did this and who did that. When you take care of something, it ought to be a humbling experience. And what did I do? And then don't justify or defend your action, whether in the right or wrong. I'm sorry. Anger will divide a home. And if you want a home that's heaven-bound, you want a home that's full of delight, you want a home that's just delightful to be in and pleasant to be around, don't let anger be a part of that. You have some of your signs and some of the pictures, and you have, laughter, live, laughter, love. Is that about right? Something that, I don't know if it's in the right, laughter, live, eat, something like that. Well, fine. I'm not a decorator. I don't know these little things, but you don't find anger in any of them. Do you? God says, I don't want you to have anger. Put it off. Dads, husbands, put it off. You get upset with the car, don't take it out on your wife. You get upset because the lawnmower doesn't start this year, don't take it out on your wife or on your kids. We do that. you have to be careful. Little things. You know what's going to do? You're going to cause division in the home, and you're not displaying the love of God. Don't let anger be a part of that. God designed the marriage to draw us close to Him, and anger will drive us away. But then we notice number two, malice. He says here, and wrath is a magnified version of anger. When you come to wrath or malice, so we looked at anger, malice. Malice is beyond anger. Malice is beyond just being upset and angry. Now you have intentions to do evil to someone. Now you have intentions to get them back. Well, they did this to me. Well, they did this to me, and so therefore, I'm going to do this to them. My wife, she did this to me. My husband did this to me. I'm going to get them back. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take his toothpaste, and I'm going to trade it out with some kind of antibiotic ointment. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, that'll get him. That'll make his speech a little better, wouldn't it? What malice is malice is taking your anger now, and now you're planning a comeback. Now you're devising something that there is no, I am going to get her back. I'm going to get him back. Kids, I'm going to get mom and dad back. They shouldn't have done that to me. That's what malice is. Malice is a planning or division or designing something that you are going to retaliate because you have all rights. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Jesus could have easily said, you just wait. I'll get you back for this. You beat me. You put them crown of thorns on me. I didn't do anything wrong. You pulled my beard out. I couldn't see. I was so swollen. You opened my back with a cat of nine tails. And my footprints of blood are on the cobblestones heading out to Golgotha while you place that beam on my back, making me drag it all the way out. I want to get you for that. He never said that, did he? Many of us in our homes have a spirit of retaliation, resentment, and malice. Paul said, don't let that be a trait in your home. You have to you want a home that's a godly home, you have to change it within. And I'm not talking about physically within, I'm talking about spiritually, I'm talking about emotionally, letting God change you within. God, don't let me become angry. I don't want to be an angry spouse. I don't want to be an angry dad. I don't want to be an angry mom. I just don't want that in my life. I don't want that to be. I've dealt with that. I'm dealing with that. I have an issue with that. I've got a problem with that. I don't want that to be. I don't want malice in my life. I don't want to feel like I have to get back at my husband for doing what he did. I don't want to have the thoughts of thinking that I've got to get back to my wife or my kids did this, and so therefore I'm going to really get them for that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, Lord willing, tonight. But malice is not to be part of the home. Malice ought to be put away, and it'll bring a sign. If you retaliate and try to do something, then so will your spouse. They'll try to do something back. And then the other one try to do something worse. And then the other one worse. It's just a cycle of doom. You don't want that. You want the cycle of delight. Somebody's got to stop it, and it's going to be you. You've got to stop it. If you have a home like that, then you need to stop it. You have to have a home that's put away this malice. Let me share with you blasphemy. Blasphemy. This is something that we don't think of many times in our marriage, think of many times in our home. But you have here, he says, you know, anger. Oh, I can see anger in the home. I can see wrath, and I can see malice, retaliation. But what is blasphemy? He's not talking about cursing, although that is blasphemy. He's not talking about taking the Lord's name in vain. That's not blasphemy. What he's saying is, God, I don't know why you gave me this spouse. I don't know why you gave me the children that you gave me. I don't know why I'm in a relationship like this. Why did you do this to me? See, that's blasphemy. That's telling God that he messed up on his design as a home, a design for the marriage. You're saying, God, you made a mistake. Some of you either know or are on a second marriage, third marriage, fourth marriage. Elizabeth Taylor, ninth marriage, tenth marriage, whatever. The one you have now is God's design for you. God didn't make the mistake. If you were honest and you prayed and you sought the Lord on this, right now today, you cannot ever say you made a mistake. God, this marriage thing isn't what it's cracked up to be. You're blaspheming his design, his created design for the home, that institution, that home, that married life that is supposed to portray God. You're saying, you made a mistake. Some of you would say, the only reason I'm staying with you is for the kids' sake. Other than that, I'd leave you in a moment. Heard many say that. You're saying, God, you messed up. This is not what it's supposed to be. And here's the problem. We are not what we're supposed to be. God is not ever going to change. He's an unchanging God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that, but it's you and me that need to change. It's us that have the problem. It's us together. If I have a problem in the home, you know, it's our problem. It becomes her problem as well, because we are no longer displaying the institution of God and Christ in our home. If I'm having one of these issues in my life, it's not God that's got the problem. It's me that have the problem. And I have to take care of it. And if I don't take care of it, then I'm going to have a home. And my home will be displayed as nothing but corruption, ungodly, just a home that people talk about. Boy, I tell you, you don't want a home like them. You don't want a home like, you know, Greg and Dina. Oh, no, no. And you know what the ironic thing is? You know, I hear him screaming all the time. And I live across the street. I hear him screaming all the time, you know. And she's pretty loud. I don't hear him a lot, but she's pretty loud. But I hear him screaming across the street all the time. And my other neighbor was talking to the neighbor and said, yeah, I hear him too all the time. And you know what the ironic thing is? You know what the real funny thing is? He's a pastor. And you know what? They invited us to church. They say they're Christians. You know what our home is doing? It's blaspheming God. God is not pleased with a home that doesn't picture him. A home that doesn't display his love, his character, the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Our home ought to betray God himself. But many times we allow our emotions to boil over. We allow these things to get to a point, and we begin to show a picture that's ungodly, and we are blaspheming God. Let me share with you number four real quickly. I know I'm keeping you a little long, but filthy communication. This is real quick. Filthy communication. He says here, right after blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Listen, many of us have foul speech, have foul language. Many of us, every now and then, will slip in a little curse word. Don't do that. Well, I'm angry. Well, that doesn't justify it. That doesn't mean that it's right. That doesn't mean that it's godly. By the way, can I just say something? Don't get mad at me. Let's be careful with slang that's close to the curse word. Amen. I hear some preachers in the pulpit say things that are close to the curse word. Now, I'm not going to give you examples, but it cringes me. It just makes me upset that they would like to straddle the fence, if you will. Don't straddle the fence. Our communication one to another, my communication with my wife is a key to a happy marriage. You know, many marriages, we talk 27 minutes a day to one another, but we watch 46 hours of TV. That's about the communication of the average home, the average family, the average spouse. And we ought to have good communication. Communication encompasses proper responses as well. Responses to what you hear, understanding one another, explaining your feelings. Guys, let her explain her feelings. Let her take time to explain the feelings. And don't roll your eyes. Guys, don't roll the eyes. You know what that's telling? That's communication, and that's not good communication. All right? All right? So you keep these things in mind. Well, preacher, I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do, because your wife will tell me you do. All right? If I asked a wife, do your husband roll his eyes every now? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know what you're going to do? I do not. That's exactly what you're going to do. Listen, communication is very necessary, that you have proper communication in your home. The right ideas, to have the burden, share the burden, share your ideas, share these things. And by the way, you know, give your attention to one another when they share things with one another. My wife, she tells me, do I have your attention? Huh? Right? Many times, let's be honest, yeah, I have to give her my attention because she wants it. It's good communication. I want her to be happy in our home. It's things I've had to work on, still work on. You want a happy home, you ought to have proper communication. Change it from within. Be careful. Have right communication. And by the way, if you have right communication with one another, if your marriage is strong, you'll have a good prayer life. Maybe one day I'll share that with you. But if you and your wife are at one with one another, your prayers will not be hindered. Good communication. Let me give you the last one here. Verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds. So we looked at anger, we looked at malice, blasphemy, poor communication. And these are all found in many of our homes today. We're going to look at lying. Listen, we have lying tendencies. It's built in us. Our fathers long ago did it for the very first time in the Garden of Eden. Lying by God saying, "Where are you?" and not coming out was a lie. They knew where they were. They knew they had sinned. You'll find that their boy Cain lied. You'll find it all the way through the Bible. Peter, you're one of them, aren't you? I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. I am not one of them. Listen, lying is something that's within each one of us. And it's not to be found in the home, that trait in the home. It's our former nature. And we ought to put it off. It corrupts the nature that we ought to have. We ought to have, listen, when you're lying, you're cooperating with the father of lies, the devil himself. But when you're telling the truth, you're cooperating with the Spirit, which the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So we ought not have a lie. Listen, something takes place and your spouse asks you what happened. Let's not try to color code it. All right? Let's not try to just kind of maybe give them the details that won't really give them the details. Amen? Some of the things that, listen, if the questions come up, what happened? How'd this take place? Where did you spend this money at? Well, I don't remember. Oh, yes, you do. Why is this like this? And different things. You know, lying can really cause a lot of damage in a marriage. You know what marriage is based on? Truth, honesty, respect, trust. You can't trust someone if they don't lie to you. They can't expect you to be honest if you're a constant liar. Here you find that they apparently were in. That was part of their trade. But he said, I don't want you to have that in your life anymore. Put it off. You're a new man. So everything that's in the hole has an outward, all these things. You know, my mind says lie. So if I lie, it's going to cause division. My mind says, my emotion says, I'm angry. And if I'm angry and I put it out, then it's going to cause division. If my communication is poor and I'm listening wrongly and there's this miscommunication, it's going to cause division. All these things, either one or all of them, are in our lives. God says, I want you to put it away. You want a home that's happy, you need to change it from within. And that's within you and me. Now, if I was you, and if you were me, I'm dealing with anger, amen? If you're like me, miscommunication. If you're like me, lying. If you're like me, blasphemy. Because listen, friend, whether people see us or not, God does. God sees your home. God sees your marriage. Is it a marriage that honors God and is a picture of Christ? If not, it needs to be changed from within. You and me personally.